seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're one day away from the start of the Major League Baseball season, and already COVID-19 is playing a factor. Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. And we have a lot of baseball talk lined up on the show today. The major leagues will start the season tomorrow, and it's baseball all day. It's going to start early in the morning, and it's going to work its way all the way through the evening. It's one of those days. Like, this is my March Madness. You know when the NCAA tournament begins, and typically it's on a Thursday and Friday, and we have games all day long, and you see these websites, they create the boss button. That way you can watch the games while you're at work. And then you click the boss button, in case your boss walks by, it vanishes. I'm that way with Major League Baseball on opening day. I absolutely love it. Cannot wait for tomorrow. And then we're off and rolling for a 162-game season. We will talk high school baseball. Emory picked up a big win last night, 3-0 in region play, 8-2 overall. Manager Rob Smith will join us on the show a little bit later. In fact, next segment he's going to join us. And then we're going to be joined by Bill Lasky. He joins us each week to talk big league baseball. We'll go over division by division. Hopefully we talk about your favorite team. I know in the state of Utah, we have a few Rocky fans. You know, you got the large markets, the Yankees, the Dodgers. Hopefully we talk about your favorite team today. We'll go division by division. We'll predict each winner. And I made my World Series pick on the show yesterday. I'm going out there a little bit. Dodgers A's. That's what I'm rolling with. I think we get the Dodgers. I think we get the A's. I believe the Yankees are the best team in the American League, but can they stay healthy? That's the big question. Because if they do, the two best teams in baseball are the Dodgers and the Yankees. And you want to talk about a World Series that would be great for the game, not only in this country, but globally? It's Dodgers-Yankees. I still like Oakland to spoil that potential. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. As I mentioned, on the eve of the start of the season, and COVID-19 already playing a factor, the Washington Nationals will be down 5 players and a staff member for opening day after a player tested positive for COVID-19. Mike Rizzo, the general manager, said this today. Now, the positive test was a result that came back Monday while the Nationals were still in Florida for spring training. Word of the test result came a little after 1 a.m. this morning, after the team had traveled home to Washington, where they were scheduled to host the Mets tomorrow for opening day. It's Scherzer and DeGrom. That right there is just, it's the best pitching matchup of the day. Jacob DeGrom is a once-in-a-generation type talent, and Max Scherzer is Max Scherzer. I mean, this is one of my favorite games of tomorrow. It's can't-miss baseball. And now it's going to look a little different. The flight is where the close contact between the player who tested positive and the 4 teammates and the staff member took place. All 6 of those individuals will miss tomorrow's opener, but their status after that is still unclear. Now, Major League Baseball's health and safety protocols for this season, a little bit different than it was last year. The player who tested positive will be required to isolate for at least 10 days. He has to receive the appropriate care, monitoring from the club medical staff, and then they'll be cleared by baseball's joint COVID committee and the individual's team physician following an evaluation of the cardiac and determination of the current risks. I mean, there is a big, big deal that goes on. But once all that is cleared up, the player can return. It is a little bit different than it was last season. Now, we have no idea which Nationals players tested or which player tested positive and which 4 players will not be available in tomorrow's game. We have no idea. What has been reported is that one of those players was not Max Scherzer. He was not on the team flight, traveled separately with his family, and so Max Scherzer will be available for tomorrow's game. Already, COVID affecting a major league season. I think it's just going to be different this year. I know we have a 162-game season. Fans are starting to reappear in the stadiums. We're going to have some fans. I was looking at tickets, actually, to a Rockies game this weekend. I was curious. What's the stadium look like? It's basically, you can sit four next to each other, and that's it. And then there's a gap on either side and behind you. So it's, I think it was like 10,000. I could be wrong on that number. It was something around that that line at Coors Field. I don't know what it's going to be throughout the country. I just think it's going to look different. And as far as fans being in the stands, don't forget, we had that in the World Series last year. It was limited attendance, but we did have fans in the stands. But already, we're talking about the Washington Nationals. And it got me thinking last year, remember, Juan Soto was in the same situation last year to get that 60-game season rolling for the Nationals. We'll talk more Major League Baseball. That's coming up again in just a bit here on the show. Let's move over to the NFL. Dan Snyder, he's now the full owner of the Washington football team. His family has gained complete control of the franchise for the first time since buying it over 20 years ago. The owners today unanimously approved Snyder's purchase of the remaining 40%. I don't know if there's an owner in the NFL that is more hated than Daniel Snyder. I think he does things to spite people. And all the talk about running him out, which I thought was going to happen there for a while. There were people trying to push him out the door. It doesn't matter anymore. It's the full owner of the Washington football team. Snyder, as far as the debt waiver, the NFL approved a $450 million debt waiver as well as the $875 million sell. So he buys out the remaining 40% of the Washington football team. Full-time owner Daniel Snyder. That's some of the national headlines making waves in the sports scene today. Let's take a look at the schedule. The NBA is coming back with a full slate of games. They all begin at the 5 o'clock hour. The Utah Jazz actually make their return tonight as they take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Donovan Mitchell will not play in tonight's game. He's away due to personal reasons. And no, I've been asked this a million times. I have no idea if it has anything to do with the plane scare that the Jazz had yesterday. I have no clue. But at 5 o'clock tonight, we get Portland at Detroit. The Heat will battle the Pacers. We get the Mavericks and the Celtics this game, nationally televised on ESPN. We get Houston at Brooklyn at 5:30 as well. Jazz Grizzlies, 6 p.m. live coverage. David Locker on Boone. It'll begin at 5:50 tonight right here on KOAL. 6 o'clock, we get the Knicks and the Timberwolves, as well as the Raptors and the Thunder. Not the greatest slate of games in the 6 o'clock hour. 6:30 at Sacramento at San Antonio. Milwaukee will travel to meet the Lakers tonight. This is the second game of the doubleheader on ESPN. Dallas at Boston and the Milwaukee at the Lakers. It'll be the debut of Andre Drummond, who officially signed with the Lakers after clearing waivers earlier this week on the buyout market. And in the nightcap, it is Chicago at Phoenix. And that's a quick look at the national sports front. I do want to talk college hoops a little bit later if we get the time. We know who the Final Four is. Number 2, Houston against number 1, Baylor. Number 1, Gonzaga against number 11, UCLA. The Bruins, they get past Michigan State in the play-in game. They blast BYU, and they just keep rolling. Last night, topping number 1, Michigan, in a thriller that came down to the very end. Michigan had plenty of opportunities. They could not score the basketball. That pesky Mick Cronin defense and UCLA in the Final Four. I don't know if you can call the Bruins Cinderella. I just don't think so. It's UCLA. I mean, it's a basketball blue blood in some capacity, and you know they get the athletes. 11, yeah, but you know they have more talent than that. That's the Final Four. If we get some time, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's break for just a moment. Local sports recap coming up. Plus, we'll be joined by Emory baseball manager Rob Smith. That'll get us rolling right here on Drive Time Sports. We're back right after this.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Going to talk high school baseball. Big win last night for the Emory Spartans. They remain unbeaten in Region 12 play. last night, getting the best of the San Juan Broncos, moving to 3-0 in region play, 8-2 overall on the semi-young season. Joining us right now to talk about the way things have gone up to this point, we have manager Rob Smith joining us over the phone. Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I always look forward to the conversations, Coach. And we'll start by talking about the way the guys, the kids performed yesterday against San Juan. I mean, obviously, you get off to a 3-0 start in league play. It's something that you can never take for granted. And you guys managed to travel, make that long, lengthy road trip, one of the most difficult road trips of the year, and you came away with a win.
Yeah, we strung together a few hits. I definitely think we could have played a little better, but we played well enough to get the win. Couple errors, a couple strikeouts, but other than that, I mean, we put the ball in play and gave ourselves a chance, and that's all I can ask from our guys right now is giving us a chance.
Coach, in this game, you blank San Juan for the first four innings, and so we can talk about what you did offensively in just a moment, but to keep a home team off the scoreboard in league play for the first four innings, typically when you do that, you're going to give yourself a chance to win the game.
Yeah, Trev Wakefield threw really well, kept the ball down. I mean, the wind was blowing 25 miles an hour straight in. It's tough to throw strikes in wind like that. But he did a great job, threw a lot of strikes. The one run they get, they shouldn't have got. A couple errors, and they scored on it. But other than that, I mean, it goes back to Trev and Wakefield giving us a chance, throwing strikes, doing the things he needed to do.
He gets the complete game, and he throws 93 pitches, and I believe 61 of those, if memory serves me right, were strikes. And so when you look at the way that Trevitt has pitched over the course of the season so far, I know at the beginning of the year you told me he was going to be one of the main arms that you were going to have to rely on. Where has he improved now that we're about 10 games into the season?
Just continue to throw strikes, getting ahead, staying ahead, making them put the ball in play. Giving our defense a chance to make plays and help him out.
I know that it's not always about strikeouts, and in this game he has 9. Obviously, you'll take that, no question. But with that being said, pitching to contact. This is a concept, Coach, that I'm always fascinated with high school kids because it's probably extremely hard to teach. You want to blow by every single batter, but it appears that Trevin has done a very good job at pitching to contact and relying on your defense.
Yeah, he does. Like I said, kids get in their heads that they can blow the ball past people, and you know, it really doesn't. We've only seen one pitcher, and that was when we got no hit at Juab that just kind of blew it past us. But pitching to contact definitely gives us a chance defensively, and I mean, it's a lot less walks for sure.
Yeah, now that we have about a month left in the season and you look at your rotation all the way through in the arms that you have to rely on, with Trevin going a complete game, this is not the first complete game that you've gotten from the rotation so far this year. You feel comfortable that the kids' arms are where they need to be and you can rely maybe on a little bit on more lengthy appearances from your starters?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. You know, I want to say that's Trevin's third complete game this year. He's been throwing really well. Very effective. But yeah, I mean, we've got one game this week left, and then we have a week off for spring break. So, I mean, I feel like by the time we come back and get into the middle meat part of our region, our arms are going to be good, going to be healthy, and going to be where they need to be.
Well, let's talk about the offense and last night's win. Jace Mangum's been pretty good at the plate for you, and last night has a couple of RBIs. I believe he finished 2-for-4. Had an extra base hit. I mean, all in all, he's been very, very solid for you in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah, Jace is swinging it really well. I was impressed with everybody's at-bats last night. Everybody swung it really well. We put the ball in play and give ourselves a chance. That's kind of one thing that we've really preached this year is no strikeouts. Put a ball in play, give us a chance, make them feel the ball. Like I said, the wind was blowing really hard. They had 4 errors. It comes down to putting the ball in play and making them make plays.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, but 1-for-4 last night each accumulated multiple hits.
Yep, correct.
I mean, when you're getting that type of production out of the front of your lineup, I know on the back half we only had 2 kids. I believe it was Trevin I can't remember off the top of my head who else did not register a hit, but you get minimal production on the back half of the lineup, and even that's fine, right? You just put the ball in play when you're getting 2-3 hits apiece from your guys batting 1-4. It alleviates a lot of the pressure.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Trev smoked a couple balls right at kids. It doesn't show in the box score, but, I mean, we're putting the ball in play. He did strike out once or twice, but his main focus was going in and pitching a good game, and that's what I talked to him about, and that's what he did.
Again, our guest right now is manager Rob Smith of the Emory High School baseball team as we talk about their 3-0 start in Region 12 play, winning 8 out of their first 10 games to start the season. Coach, 3-0 now in league play. I know you have an opportunity to get to 4-0, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but to get off to a 3-0 start in what's going to be a very competitive region, the bottom line is, even if Grand and San Juan are a little down, you have to take care of business, so I'm sure you're thrilled at sitting at 3-0.
Yeah, I'm happy. I feel like we're playing good baseball. We got to continue to play good baseball and to continue to get better, and I believe we can do that. But yeah, sitting 3-0 in region play is a great thing to have. So
now that we are a few region games in, and maybe this was predictable going into the season, Coach, as far as who are the schools that are going to give you fits, when you take a look at the league, is it shaping out similar to the way you thought it would at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I mean, Richfield, Carbon, they're always got a decent baseball program. But, you know, it's high school baseball, and anything can happen if you take care of the things you need to take care of. It's kind of sitting right where I thought.
You did mention spring break next week. Before we get into that game coming up against San Juan, who do you throw on Friday and getting the Broncos at home? What did you learn about them the first go-around?
So we're going to go with Luke Stilton. He's going to throw. We've got all hands on deck if we get in trouble. Trev threw really well, so we only went to him yesterday. So we've got everybody ready to roll. But it goes back to throwing strikes and putting the ball in play and giving ourselves a chance to win a ball game.
Coach, scoring 5 runs in the win yesterday and knowing that you probably could have put up double-digit runs, have you set a goal for your team, or will you set a goal for your team tonight or tomorrow heading into Friday's game of what you want to see from a production standpoint offensively?
Yeah, I mean, every week in, week out, we talk about good quality at-bats. I feel like yesterday was one of our... we had 11 hits, but I didn't feel like we really squared the ball up like we can. So going into it, I'm going to talk to them about having good quality at-bats, putting the ball in play, and not just putting the ball in play, but hard somewhere, not just little dribblers.
Well, I know we still have a couple of days before we get to Friday, but spring break, and, you know, it's a little bit different than, say, basketball, just based on the fact that your season is so condensed. But in the same notion, you know, I know that basketball teams look forward to that Christmas break because you play so many games in a very short period of time, and I think you can apply that logic to baseball. You guys have played 10 games, Coach, already this season, and we're talking about less than a month that we've been into the year already, so it is a very short period of time, and you get sore arms, and I know that the schedules have been a little bit different with rearranging. So when you look at spring break, how do you handle it with your team schedule-wise, and how needed is it to recharge the batteries for the final stretch?
I have mixed feelings about it. It'll be good to get the kids' arms some rest, but at the same time, I hope we don't lose focus on our goal, and we stay focused for that week. And that's going to come down to having good quality practice time.
Well, Coach, I always look forward to speaking with you. Always great to get an update on the kids. I appreciate the time. Congratulations on the 3-0 region start. Best of luck on Friday, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Hey, sounds good. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Coach. That's Rob Smith, again, manager of the Emory High School baseball team, and we got to get out for a quick commercial break, but more baseball coming up. Tomorrow, opening day in the major leagues. We talked about that a bit yesterday. I'm going to go back over each division. We're going to be joined by Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. That's coming up next when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
On the eve of the Major League Baseball season, we've got games all day tomorrow. Best time of the year, especially for those who love baseball. And, of course, the guy joining me right now over the phone, he loves baseball, former big league pitcher, spent his time with the San Francisco Giants, and he's kind enough to join us each week. We have Bill Lasky joining us over the phone right now. And, Bill, as always, it's a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time again today.
Well, it's that time of the year. We're 24 hours or less out for the opening day for the 2021 season. A lot of heartbeats are racing, anticipation. This is the best time of the year.
Oh, I agree. And I think there's a lot of intrigue. And we talked about this on the show yesterday. Even though the defending World Series champion Dodgers appear to be the front runners, I think there are some teams that can give them fits. It's never a foregone conclusion going into a season, especially when you consider injuries. And look, let's be real, there's some veterans on this Dodger team. So, Bill, when you go into a season like this, and we've seen this in the past, teams that were obvious front runners. I mean, let's go back to 2017. The Cubs are coming off of their first World Series championship, and it looked as if this team was going to compete for a title for years to come, and that just simply hasn't been the case. It's one of the unknowns about professional sports.
It sure is, and you know, you can look at the rosters and say, wow, look at this team, or man, look at that pitching staff, but it all happens between the lines. That's why it's a day-to-day grind. I'm so glad it's a 162-game season. You're going to have some injuries this year. You had guys last year in a 60-game get through it, and when you're looking at 60 games compared to 162, I'm sorry to say, but that's 102 more games, and there's a lot to do in that time period.
I think you mentioned it exactly right. I mean, 102 more games, and on top of everything else, games will be managed differently. And I'll tell you the other big aspect that I don't believe has gotten enough pub. I know you and I have talked about this, Bill, here on the show, but the fact is there was a DH in the National League last year. That changed things considerably. It did benefit the eventual World Series champions in the Dodgers, who have more depth, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, than 90% of teams in Major League Baseball, especially in the National League. I think it's a factor that has not picked up enough steam, and as we get set for opening day, it will look drastically different.
I believe so, too, and, you know, it was such a late decision. You know, you had guys waiting to sign that were designated hitters, didn't know if it was going to be a national team or an American League team. I know here in San Francisco, their team is more adapt for a DH because there's so many good players. It's an older team out here, and there's more access for a DH in this lineup than normal. But, of course, the National League is staying with the old having the pitcher hit. I love that. I love it when it's Division A, American League, DH, Division II, National League, no DH. It's a different kind of baseball. It's a different strategy. And I'm looking forward to seeing if this is going to be the last year, because, of course, the bargaining agreement ends at the end of this season. And I know all owners want to go to the National League for a DH.
Well, Bill, let's move over and talk about the divisional races, and we'll start in the NL West. I know it's the division that both of us are most familiar with, especially you covering the San Francisco Giants. We'll pick a division winner. If it's the Dodgers, the Padres, and then it appears that there's everyone else. And that's not an insult to the Giants or Diamondbacks. We can't consider it an insult to the Colorado Rockies, because everything that's wrong with professional sports, in my mind, is the Colorado Rockies in their front office. But it appears that this is a two-pony race, and even I believe there's some distance between the Dodgers and Padres in this division.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, they just strengthen in every part of their game. They're strong off the bench. They're strong with utility players that can fit roles. Their starting staff is the best in baseball. It's really going to be if they can blend in that clubhouse, if they can compete with each other with no big heads, egos. And I just can't see them losing the NL West this year. Padres will probably be close, maybe five games or less. But I just think the Dodgers win the NL West this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. The biggest question I have with the Dodgers, it's Trevor Bauer. And you mentioned the clubhouse. How do they mesh? I mean, this guy is a personality. And the other thing that I've said this to those who play fantasy baseball, beware of Trevor Bauer. Now, I'm not saying that he's not one of the elite pitchers in baseball. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, going back to the 60-game season last year, he beat up on a rather weak NL Central. And I can guarantee, I rarely make guarantees, but I promise his ERA is going to look different than it did last year, specifically in the NL West. A little bit tougher front to back than the Central. I think Bauer's great, but I do think, Bill, we're going to see some regression based off of what he provided last year in the Cy Young type season.
Well, and I think what you're going to also see is he's a target. There's teams that are going to be looking, and when they see the rotation of the Dodgers, they're going to see Kershaw and Bauer, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to be fired up for both those guys. Bauer's got a target on his back, just as Antic's on the mound. Sure, he is a valuable pitcher. Yes, he's got ability plus, but I think some of the things that hamper him is his ego and look at me type things. These are things that baseball wants. They want that superstar player. But on the other side, when you're in that opposing dugout, it definitely gets you fired up to compete against them and whip them butt.
So we're in agreement. Dodgers in the NL West. Let's move over to the Central. Brewers, Cubs, Reds, Pirates, and the Cardinals. This is one division, Bill, that I've kind of gone back and forth on, and we talked about it yesterday. I really like the Brewers in this division. I love what they did in the outfield. It's adding Jackie Bradley Jr. I expect Christian Yelich to have a big bounce-back season. I love the fact that Lorenzo Cain is healthy. I love the outfield for Milwaukee, and I'm very high on Brandon Woodruff. I think he's an elite number one tier pitcher. I really believe that going into this season. But on top of that, you have the Cubs, you have the Cardinals, and this is a tough one. I think this is probably the most difficult division to predict.
Yeah, I would think the same way. They're pretty equal. Of course, Cardinals with Arenado coming over there, that strengthens that offense, as well as the third base, and you got Goldschmidt at first. Still kind of an older team, but yet the knowledge and the experience, I think, prevails in that division. Don't throw the Cubs out. I think the Cubs have a nucleus over there. If they get fired up, they get hot, they could do some damage. But I'm going to go with you. I like the Brewers. I like what they did. I think they got a good pitching staff. And as well, you know, Christian Yelich, he didn't have a great season last year in a 60-gamer, and I can see him coming right back to that MVP-caliber player.
I got to ask you, if we're talking about the Cubs here for a moment, being a former pitcher, we were just talking about the ERA of Trevor Bauer. As they move on from Yu Darvish, they bring in Zach Davies. And Bill, I know you got to look at him last year in the NL West. He was a bright spot for the Padres last season. He doesn't give you a whole lot of speed. He's not going to blow past anyone. But that ERA level, we got enough sample size last year to say, okay, this guy is legit. Is it fair to say, when we look at the Chicago Cubs, a lot of their success is going to ride on the arm of Zach Davies, and if he can be a legitimate number two in that rotation behind Hendricks?
Well, I think what the Cubs are doing right now, I think with Hendricks as their ace, they're going softball. They're trying to just eliminate damage. A lot of just bat control, playing good defense. Jock Peterson, I think, is going to be a big valuable part in that lineup as an everyday player in the outfield, a number three hitter like they had him in spring training. But I'm with you. I think their starting staff is going to have to pitch deep into games. I don't think their bullpen's that strong. And I still believe the Cubs on their offensive side can carry that team.
Let's move over to the NL East. Braves, Nationals, Mets, Phillies, Marlins. Marlins are a fun pick. They got some youth. I love Jazz Chisholm winning the starting job at second base. Don Mattingly, they've done some good things. The Braves, it's another team. If they get Mike Soroka back, look, here's an ace for you. I love the fact that the Washington Nationals have a pitching rotation that nobody's really talking about, and Strasburg, Scherzer, and I think you can throw Corbin and maybe even Lester in that equation. But, Bill, offensively, I don't know if there is another team in the NL that can press the Dodgers the way the New York Mets can. This is a team that is full of offensive weapons. And for the first time in a really long time, Jacob DeGrom's going to have some run support, and that's dangerous.
Oh, that's big-time dangerous. All you got to get him is two or three runs, and he'll float Ws back and forth. I'm with you. I like what the Nationals did. I think the Nationals will compete. Good starting staff. They filled in a couple holes. And then you look at Miami with the young youth, the prospects. Again, the 60-game season, Miami could prevail and fight for a first place. But with so much young talent, I just don't know in a 162-game season if they can keep that spirit alive for the whole year. I look at the Mets, and I think the Mets have rebuilt the correct way. They got a great starting staff. They got some good bullpen arms. And of course, with Lindor playing shortstop, the captain, the catalyst of that club, I think that's the spark the Mets need to win that division.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the infield for the Mets. Love what they have in the outfield as well. I think there's a lot of firepower, and so I got to agree with you again. I mean, so far we're all equal. The Dodgers, the Brewers, and then we'll agree on the Mets. Now, if we jump to the AL. And we'll start with the AL West, excuse me, a team that you are also very familiar with, the Oakland A's. And Bill, this is a team that they've burned me a couple of times over the last couple of years, because going into the season, not only do I like them to win the AL West, I think this is a team that can make a push at a World Series. I really, really do.
I think the Oakland A's definitely, they lost a couple players, of course. Simeon went over to Toronto, and they pick up Andrus, which was a very good pickup from the Rangers, a great still set. But don't forget, they got Chapman now. They got Olsen. Chapman's healthy, the great third baseman. He's just like Arenado in the National League. He makes stupendous plays, and he's healthy. Chapman and Olsen both in the corners. And they also have a couple good pitchers. They picked up a couple good arms, Petit and Romo from the Giants as middle guys. And you know, it's just can they compete in the AL West with Houston? And don't forget, Seattle's not a bad club. Seattle's done some good things over the winter, too. And the Angels also. You got Trout, Pujols. You also have such good flavor in the Angels. I think the AL West is going to be competitive the entire year.
I hope, and I'm glad you brought up the Angels, because as we talk about division winners, it's kind of deflating to not mention arguably the best player in baseball and could go down as one of the greatest of all time, of Mike Trout. That's deflating when you have these conversations, and that's why I hope we see something out of the Angels this year.
It sure is, you know, and you know he's just baffled because he can't get to the playoffs, and, you know, he's a superstar, an MVP, projections of him being another MVP in 2021, the skill set, you know, five-star and everything that you could imagine, from playing defense to offense, you know, to driving in runs when you need it, hit a home run when the pitch is up. He just doesn't make mistakes too much with the bat, and he's a fierce offensive player. You know, you put him anywhere in the order and he's going to compete and put numbers up. Center field, he's got the ability to jump over walls like Superman sometimes. Got a cannon of an arm, but yet he can't win a division with those Angels. So we're going to see how all this goes together with the AL West this year.
I got to go with Oakland, Bill. Who's your pick?
I tell you what, I'm going to go with Houston. I think Houston will prevail. I think Houston, with Dusty Baker under their wing, good friend of mine, I just think Houston still got the advantage in the West.
All right, let's move on to the Central with the White Sox, Indians, Tigers, Royals, and Twins. We talked about the Twins a bit on the show yesterday. Here's a team that is, they got an 18-game losing streak in the playoffs, and it's so hard for me to ignore that. But in the same sense, track records in previous years in professional sports, I think it's foolish to look at that. I like the Twins an awful lot. I like the White Sox an awful lot. I do believe the most intriguing storyline in this division is the return of Tony La Russa in the dugout.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the White Sox did not have a good spring training. They were scuffling early in the park. They didn't even have a win for like 8-9 games, I do believe. They really scuffled. But there's that team we talked about in the beginning of this. When you look on paper, an unbelievable team. Everybody in every position is strong. Good pitching, good depth off the bench, good starting rotation, good bullpen. But yet they have to gel, and they have not gelled through spring training. So that is a big question mark on the White Sox. But I'm going to tell you another team, the Cleveland Indians, I think it might be the sleeper in that division. Don't give up on Terry Francona, because you know he's got some secrets, and that starting staff is pretty strong.
Who are you rolling with?
I'm going to try, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Indians. This is a surprise pick.
I like it. Over the course of 162 games, you got to go with a surprise somewhere. I got to stick with the Twins. I think they are the most talented front to back. And the White Sox spring training, I'm glad you brought that up. It did scare me off a little bit in the Central. And then, Bill, we talk about the AL East. And in this division, especially after the offseason that Tampa Bay had, it appears there's the Yankees and everyone else, but you have to mention injuries. And this is a team that has struggled staying healthy over the course of a 60-game season, much less 162.
Oh, totally agree, and they're coming out of spring training with still some more injuries. I just like the Toronto Blue Jays. The problem with the Blue Jays is they don't have a home field because of COVID-19. The the country of Canada does not want them to play up there. So they're having some home games in Florida. I don't know if they're going to Buffalo yet, but the first month, month and a half are going to be home games in the state of Florida. So it is difficult when you don't have a home field, where you don't have a home clubhouse where you can get comfortable with and enjoy it and know you're coming to your home field with some advantages. And that's the difficult part about it. It's like you're playing on the road all the time. But Toronto Blue Jays have some talent, and I just think the Toronto Blue Jays could upset the Yankees in the East.
I'm going to go with the Yankees. I think the Blue Jays, they're right there. I mean, they're a wild card team. I don't think there's any doubt of the AL, but yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Yankees there. So we differ. We're identical in the NL. We differ in the AL. And Bill, I gave my prediction on the show yesterday. I'm going Dodgers A's in the World Series. I like a 1988. Run it back. Let's get a sequel. You know, 30-something years passed. I think it's time. It's due. I love what the A's have built. I picked them. I'm very high on them most seasons, but I think they finally break that barrier and get into the World Series this season. Who are you rolling with? Who's your World Series pick?
I'm going to tell you a strange one, and I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with the Padres versus the Blue Jays. San Diego against Toronto in the World Series. Something totally off the wall. Two teams that hadn't seen the World Series in a while, and I think both these teams have the talent and the depth to get them there.
I love the pick, but I am going to ask you this. If, in fact, it is the Dodgers out of the NL, and I don't even care if they win the World Series, if it is the Dodgers out of the NL, can you call them a dynasty?
Yeah, you'd have to, because I tell you what, the NL West, they have won, what, 8-9 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
They have put some enormous wins in that win column. They are constantly trying to get better. Dave Roberts is definitely a manager of a year. He's that type of leader you want in that dugout. He has gone up and down with so many players, but I'm agreeing with you. The dynasty and Clayton Kershaw finally got the monkey off his back, as they say, with the World Series last year. And I just see him having a stupendous year, even though he had an ugly spring training.
Yeah, he did. He did. Does that worry you? Or is it spring training one of those instances where you say pitchers are trying different things? How do you approach that? What's your take on it?
Well, you know what? You have to get some consistency out of spring training. If it's two solid innings, putting zeros on the board and getting six up, six down. But he didn't have that. Every game he was getting lit up. The A's lit him up for 9 earnings. There was nothing that he had where he could say, oh, I got something going, or I'm working on this. No, he just had a bad spring. Velocity was down. Breaking ball was up. Pitching against the Rockies tomorrow in Colorado. It's going to be interesting to see how that translates tomorrow.
Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, always kind enough to join us. It's finally here, the start of the Major League Baseball season. And Bill, I know we're going to be talking a lot of baseball. We're going to be talking a lot of baseball, and I look forward to it every week. Definitely thank you for taking out the time. And, of course, we have to talk about what you're doing at KNBR with the Giants, as the season is now here, and it's about to get off and rolling.
Yeah, I tell you, the biggest thing is I moved into radio consistently now, more of a Saturday-Sunday pregame for 3 hours, postgame for 2 hours, and just literally talking baseball and who the Giants are playing. Of course, the Giants are opening up with the Mariners, and that'll be the third game in Saturday. It's really strange the Giants don't play on Easter Sunday, kind of a weird off day. And then they open up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week against the Padres in San Diego in their first National League competition. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do against Seattle in Seattle. And Kyle Lewis has still got a question mark on him for injuries. But KNBR, the sports leader here in San Francisco, is where I am every Saturday and Sunday. You can stream the pre and post game on KNBR's app. So great things from the Giants. We're going to look forward to see what they do in the NL West, because there's going to be a lot of competition for them.
No question. Bill, always a blast. Thank you again for the time. I know we'll do it again soon.
Always good talking to my friend. Baseball is back, and you and I are in good spirits.
That's right. That's right. It's always a great time when baseball returns games all day tomorrow. That's Bill Lasky taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We'll break for just a minute. We have more coming up when we return.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Final couple of minutes here on Drive Time Sports. Boy, I want to spend a whole segment talking about this tomorrow. So we'll tease a segment. Bring in Travis Anderson to help close this out. Travis, last night, UCLA topped Michigan in a game that was a thriller. You and I got to catch the end of it as we were leaving the USU Eastern game. The Bruins were outstanding defensively. And here's the rundown of what it looks like, what this 11 seed has accomplished. They become the second team ever to play in the first four and advance to the Final Four. They joined VCU, who did it in 2010, 2011. And they tie the mark for the lowest ranked seed to advance to the Final Four. You're all in on Mick Cronin and the Bruins, though.
I'm all in. They've got momentum. They're playing very well. Mick Cronin got a lot of heat for the way he, you know, was hired, and then people wanted to, what, fire him, get rid of him, even before they played Michigan State.
During the Michigan State game, there were fans calling for his job. It's like, what are you guys thinking?
He's a good coach, and he's got UCLA back to where they need to be in the Final Four for, what, the first time since 2008?
Been a long time since Ben Howland.
Went to, what, four in a row?
Yeah, they couldn't get it done. They advanced to the national championship game. But that was during Florida's run. That was Derrick Rose at Memphis's run. It was a tough stretch. History's not for UCLA. Did you know that no team lower than an 8 seed has ever advanced beyond the Final Four? And the only such team that has ever won at all, Villanova's 84-85 team, they beat Georgetown in the final. So, yeah, history's not on their side, but we will talk more about this. You think they beat the Zags?
Right now, as we sit here today, I still, what, got a couple days?
You got a couple of days.
I am going to pick the Bruins.
Now, I had them in my bracket in the Elite Eight, which does you no good because half my Final Four was spanked before we get to the Elite Eight. I did not have them getting into the Final Four, but boy, it's been a great story. I guess we get in with this. Can you consider UCLA a Cinderella?
Yeah, I think so because...
I can't.
I just don't think anybody, you know, predicted them to... even win that first game.
No, but it's UCLA. Remember when Kentucky was an eight seed, right? They beat Wichita State in the opening round.
And then they beat Michigan. It was a one. Yeah, they danced.
They weren't a Cinderella.
No, they weren't. They were a very good team. Who,
it was Kentucky.
It's Kentucky. And Kentucky and UCLA, I guess, are not Cinderella.
No, I can't. I can't put them in that category. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. We are out of time on this edition of the show. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Busker. Ready? We'll catch you tomorrow. Be safe. We are out.